redemption came, and his name is Jesus. Sing, all ye people, the Lord Almighty reigns. Sing, every creature of God, God bless his name. For he is good, for he is good. He was born to conquer the grave. Light of the world, the reason for Christmas Day.
From the mountains we will shout it out, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. He is with us, he is with us now. For the Lord our God Almighty reigns.
From the mountains we will shout it out, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. He is with us, he is with us. Shout it out, for the Lord our God Almighty.
the Lord. What a beautiful choir. Amen. Go ahead. Getting better and better and better. He is the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus. Anytime it becomes other than about Him, it's paganistic, it's wrong. I mean, we're blind. It's all about Jesus. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church from age 5 to 11, all of our children. So good to have Brother Travis Gardner back with us and Brother Eugene Moody. They were with Brother Darren Smith in El Salvador. When we were flying out a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, they were flying in to remodel and help add rooms, convert rooms to dorms, getting ready for our trip. There's about 34 of us right now out of this church that'll be going on our missionary trip in March to El Salvador. And they experienced a lot this week. I couldn't tell it all, but I'll just say this. They went to work and to really make the property better and prepare it for all of us coming. But they experienced the lost, the hurting, the dying, the demon-possessed, the hungry. That facility that we have purchased in El Salvador is in the midst of poverty-stricken area, lost people. But they come, they gravitate to that facility because Brother Sandy and Sister Sherry Marino have been a lighthouse in that area. And now this church has purchased that property and we're going to begin a ministry. And Brother Sandy and Sister Sherry is going to help us. We're excited. And we want to thank you for going, Brother Eugene, Brother Travis. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23. We will be starting on the lights tomorrow for our second and third floor. The lights and drop ceiling on the third floor. So we're working. And our goal is to have our whole Christian school move, converted over to that new building. Hopefully during the Christmas holidays. We'll see how that happens, how that works. And then we'll expand our child care facility on the bottom floor. And then the third floor will enlarge for our school of ministry. So it's just everything's working out and we're going to be able to grow. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. He says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with me." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come again into the sanctuary, gather together with those of like precious faith. Lord, we're asking you that you would again take a coal of fire from off the altar, lay upon these lips of clay and anoint me with that holy anointing that makes preaching effective. Lord, I'm asking you to anoint every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say to us. Lord, we need a holy encounter with a holy God today. We're asking you to do a deep work in each and every heart. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on identifying and overcoming septic thoughts. Identifying and overcoming septic thoughts. In the computer world, there is an old saying. I don't know how old it is, but it's called GIGO or GIGO, however you want to pronounce that I. GIGO, it stands for garbage in, garbage out. In other words, whatever you put into that computer is what you're going to get out of that computer. It's that way in Facebook and social media and YouTube. Whatever kind of videos you've been watching are what's going to come up on your feed. Can I get a witness in this house? Oh, you can run, but you can't hide. What's true in the computer world is also true in the human mind. If you put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. If you think negative thoughts, you're going to live a negative, miserable, discontented, depressing life. But if you fill your mind with the thoughts of God, God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you a peace that the world cannot explain. But you got to fill your mind with the thoughts of God. It's true. Whatever you put into that mind, you will become. You say, really, preacher? Whatever you put into that mind, seriously, you will become? Absolutely, positively. I don't have to have a psychiatrist tell me that. The Word of God declares that, and it was written 1,000 years ago. Proverbs 23:7 again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What he's basically saying is, you are what you eat. Whatever you meditate on, whatever you feed upon. That's why I preach so hard about whatever enters into that eye gate. Amen? Whatever enters into the ear gate. It's not just the Pentecostals that used to preach that. It was the Baptists, the Presbyterian, the Methodists. We used to preach a separation from this world. To come out. To not be contaminated through the ear and the eye gate. Whatever you think on long enough, you will become. If you watch adulterous scenes, you'll be thinking about adultery. Come on. If you watch programs with profanity, whenever you're using the hammer and the nail and you accidentally hit your hand, profanity is going to come out. But James says sweet water and bitter water cannot flow out of the same fountain, neither can cursing and praising. When I got saved over 25 years ago, my cusser got saved, amen, because I stopped putting garbage in my mind and I started putting the clean, pure things of God in my mind. And I'm going to tell you, I went from depression to a joy that I can't explain. Sometimes I get so happy, I don't know what to do with myself. I almost can't contain because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. My God is good. I am saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm on my way to heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are washed in the blood. He loved us and he saved us. It is a good life. Amen. It's true. Whatever you eat in the natural, you will become. They used to tell us that when we were kids. My teacher, trying to inspire us to eat good, healthy food, she would say, hey, you are what you eat. If you eat that trash, you're going to get unhealthy. It's true. We know that to a degree. The body is a wonderful machine, and it can discard a lot of things. You know, it can depend on your genetic makeup. But for the most part, you are what you eat. It's that way in the natural, and it's also that way in the spiritual. People wonder why they're so miserable. They wonder why they're so depressed and unhappy. I can show you why. You show me a person that's miserable, depressed, and unhappy, and I will show you somebody who needs to get their thinking right. I'll show you somebody who's thinking on the wrong thing. Listen, nobody knows what you're thinking. The devil cannot read your mind. He can place thoughts in your mind, but God knows what you're thinking. It's between you and God, but I can tell you, I don't have to know what you're thinking. You can come in, and just by looking at your countenance or seeing your actions, I can tell you what you've been thinking, because whatever direction that mind goes, that body's also going to go. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, that the church of the living God, we harness our minds like an old stubborn mule. We tell it what to think on, where it's going to go. It must be governed by the Word and by the Spirit. I want a clean mind and a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said, for they shall see God. The Word of God is true, and the Word of God can cleanse the mind. If you want to really get help when it comes to the struggles of the mind, we have to identify the problem. You know, until you know what the problem is, you can't fix the problem. Amen? We can try to work on some of the symptoms of the problem or the sickness, but you will treat symptoms all day long. But if you don't go to the root of the problem, you'll never change. You'll never get help. We got to get to the root of the problem. We must identify the problem, and we're not going to overcome unless you identify. You're not going to get the victory until you know what it is, until you identify. It's so sad to me that so many people are consumed with septic thoughts that are poisoning their lives. Septic thoughts will poison your life, just like in the natural. You can get poisoned and not even know it by something you're ingesting into the body. It could be by accident or somebody could be out to get you. The body can even turn on itself and go septic. Listen, whenever you allow your mind to constantly think the same things over and over again, and it's negative thoughts, it's thoughts that are against the Word of God, you can poison yourself and you can go septic. The Lord wants to help somebody in this house today. I believe that God's going to help somebody in this house get the victory, because we're going to identify some things. We're going to point out some things that some, you know, we think it's just those cardinal sins. Yes. In every area, we've got to keep our mind pure. We got to keep our thoughts in the right direction. But I'm going to focus in on some things this morning that many would never even identify as a septic thought. Sadly, so many of us refuse to push back through the clutter and the clamor of negative thinking and false beliefs that can bombard us. I'm no good, people say. I'm no good. I'm terrible. I can't stand when people say that kind of stuff. I always fail. I'll never amount to anything. My life doesn't matter. No one really cares about me. If I disappeared, no one would even notice. Maybe you don't say that out loud. Maybe it's a thought that goes through your mind. No matter how hard I try, I never make a difference. Have you ever had those thoughts? It seems like I mess up everything I do. Come on, can I get a witness in this house? God could never love me after all that I've done. How can you say that, preacher? God forgives. How could he forgive me? I have trampled underfoot the blood of the new covenant many times. I have willfully sinned against God. I just don't believe that God could forgive me. You better think again, because the Bible says that if you come to him in repentance, he would in no wise cast you out. Oh, that's good news for the hurting, the lost, and the dying. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for forgiveness. That is septic thinking. The devil is a liar. Listen to me today. In order to overcome, we must identify these hellish thoughts. Can I get one of these young guys to just turn the AC down just a little bit? The heat's starting to rise. In order to overcome, we must identify these hellish thoughts. If not, you can go spiritually septic. And your soul will stagnate and your soul will begin to wither. Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Do you hear me? You say, why am I going through this? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I struggling? I can tell you it all goes back to what you've been thinking on, how you handle things that come your way. Yes, the devil can place thoughts there. Yes, we conjure stuff up in our own carnal mind. How are you going to deal with it? Listen, we're made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Whenever a man's lost, he only is operating in two realms, the body and the soul. The soul is the personality, the imagination, the memory of man. His spirit man, whenever he is lost, is dead and in darkness. But whenever a man's born again, whenever Christ has come in and saved a man, woman, boy, or girl, the spirit becomes alive. Listen, whenever you're lost, the flesh controls the soul. The flesh, it's in the controlling place in every area of life. But when a person gets born again, the spirit that's born again has direct contact with God, and that spirit is in the control. It must be in the controlling place. It controls the soul. We get our help and we get our direction by the Word and by the Holy Ghost, and I've got to come under the governing power of God Almighty. I can't think what I want to think. I can't do what I want to do. I can't say what I want to say. I must be controlled by the Spirit of God. Most of life's battles are won or lost in that mind. It was Abraham Lincoln who said this: I want to know all God's thoughts. All the rest are just details. Our thoughts are either focused on what is eternal, life-changing, and true are lost in the details of our temporary, selfish, false beliefs. Either you're thinking things that are true, wholesome, of a good report, or the enemy's filling your mind with a bunch of hogwash. That's East Texas vernacular for a bunch of junk. It's time that we build a firewall around our mind. You know, one of the most used scripture when it deals with the warfare of the mind, because it is a battleground. Now, I deal with drug addicts, alcoholics. I deal with good Christians that are having trouble in their mind. I deal with those that are depressed. Every area of our spiritual battle, we have to fight in the same way. It's won or lost in the battlefield of the mind. You've got to learn to harness your mind. You've got to learn to cast down imaginations. You've got to learn to force to make yourself think the thoughts of God. That's why we fill our mind with the Word of God, because the Holy Ghost brings it to our remembrance when we need it the most. The enemy fills your mind with fearful thoughts, all kind of depressing thoughts, but it's God who says this in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. This word stronghold in the Greek means, it is a noun and it can be translated castle, or as a verb, to fortify. The literal translation for Paul's usage would be a prisoner locked down by deception. It's lies. Listen, Satan only operates through the realm of lies. So if the devil says it, it's a lie every single time. Or he'll have a little bit of truth mixed with a lie. He always uses the word of God, but he will twist it and turn it to his own way, and he ends up making a lie out of it. So deception is always linked to a lie. Listen, when the enemy places those thoughts in your mind, you ought to say out loud, devil, you are a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning, and I know who you are, and whenever you bring them to my mind, I'm going to shout it. Listen, nobody likes to be called a liar, but the devil knows he's a liar. It's time that we start identifying who it is and what it is that's coming our way. This morning, I'm going to identify 4 septic thought categories that we've got to overcome. Now, when we think about the battlefield of the mind, we automatically think about perversion. Well, absolutely. You've got to overcome any kind of perverse thought, any kind of lustful thought. But these are things that oftentimes get overlooked, these categories. 1, pessimism. 2, anxiety. 3, discontentment. And 4, criticism. These are categories that the enemy will begin to attack us in. If we meditate on it long enough, we end up becoming poisoned by those thoughts and we can go septic. First of all, pessimism. What is pessimism? A pessimist. I was about to say, we have any pessimists in the house, but I was afraid somebody's going to say, yes, Lord. Pessimism are what we call negative thoughts. They're always, listen, Sister Nancy, I think we have one Nancy in this house, so Sister Nancy, I'm not talking about you, but we have any other negative Nancys in the house. Somebody that's always negative. It's always, they see the glass half empty all the time. It doesn't matter what comes their way. It doesn't matter how they're blessed. It doesn't matter what God's done for them. They're always thinking about the negative side of it. Well, yeah, God did bless me, but you know, tomorrow we could lose that blessing. Well, bless your little heart. Well, tomorrow you may never see it. It's time to lift our hands and lift our voices and thank God for the blessings He's given to us today. Negative thoughts can poison your whole system. Do you battle with chronically negative thoughts about yourself? I could preach right there for a little while. Do you battle with those chronically negative thoughts about yourself or others or just life in general? Man, it's just terrible. I just don't understand why we were dealt this deck of cards. I don't understand why God is blessing this person, but He's not blessing us. Listen, maybe in your self-talk, you tell yourself, I just don't have what it takes. No matter how hard I try, I will never get ahead. Some of you have said that recently. We try. It's like we're spinning our wheels. We're never going to get ahead in life. It's like we take one step forward and we take two steps back. Let me tell you something today. God is still on the throne and he's still a supernatural God. God can take you anywhere he wants to take you. It was Raven Hill that said, if God be your partner, make your plans big. It ain't about you anyway. I'm telling you today, you may not have what it takes, but the one who created the heavens and the earth does have what it takes, and he can strengthen me. Oh, listen, I may not can, but the God that lives inside of me can. God is a miracle working God. I don't have what it takes. No matter how hard I try, I'll never get ahead. If that's you today, you need to know something. God's still on the throne. No matter what I do, I always get the short end of the stick. That's that negative, pessimistic attitude. That's poisoning you. You may not know it, but it's causing you to go septic. You say, my life is going to be terrible for the rest of my life. Listen, I know these are pretty extreme words, but you would be surprised at the people who are struggling. They're going through things, and they constantly either spew these out of their mouth or they're constantly thinking on these thoughts, or perhaps you're overwhelmed with too much to do. No matter how hard you work, well, I know I'm going to strike a chord with this one. No matter how hard you work, there's always more. And nobody appreciates your hard work. Nobody knows how hard you've got it. You know, just about everybody feels that way. If they only knew the hours I put in, what I have to put up with, I have to clean the house. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody's laundry, mow the grass. Listen, almost everybody's got a whole lot to do, and almost everybody to a degree is unappreciated. Can I get a witness in this house? Listen to me today. We need to stop complaining about not being recognized and being appreciated because God loves us. Listen, you say, well, nobody loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Listen to me. He loved you, and you do have others that love you. Stop being so pessimistic. It's causing you to become poisoned. Your negative thoughts only compound the problem. I just can't do it all. There's just no way. No one appreciates me anyway. I give and I give and I give. Everyone else drains me. I don't know how much more I can take. Man, I know you're in this house this morning. To a dad, he oftentimes feels like the kids, all they want is money. He's the money bags. And you know, we all can come into that place. If we sit and meditate, any of us in this house right now, we could sit and meditate and we could begin to ask ourselves the question, do they really appreciate me? Do they really show the appreciation? Or am I just really going to, you know, I could sit for about 15 minutes if I wanted to and get downright depressed. I refuse to do it. I refuse to allow myself to go spiritually septic. It's poison. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you that. It's a power of positive thinking. That's not what the word says, but it does say this: for whatever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think it long enough in a negative sense, your body, your mind, your whole direction of your life will go that direction. But if you think the thoughts of God, Almighty God will give you the desire of your heart. I'm telling you today, we need to identify and overcome septic thoughts. You may even have some negative thoughts in more mundane areas of life. I look terrible. You say, I look terrible. You look in the mirror. I look terrible today. I've got nothing to wear and can't afford anything new. It really doesn't matter what it is. I'm telling you today that if you plant the seed of negative thoughts it's going to grow, and it's going to choke out the life of the Word of God. Listen, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I'm not trying to say that you and I are to ignore the realities of life. That's not what I'm speaking to you today. If you're sick, I'm not one of those people that says, I'm not sick. I don't believe like that. Listen, if I'm sick, I'm sick. What need do I have of somebody praying for a healing if I keep saying I'm not sick? Amen? That's not what I'm referring to today, but what I am referring to is this. We serve a big God, and God can do anything, and we must speak the word, speak the healing word, speak the life of faith, believe God, and God will begin to do the work. I'm not going to allow the seeds to be planted in my life. Stop looking for the negative in everything, or it's going to cause you to go septic. Number two. Anxiety. This is another category of septic thinking, anxious thoughts. And I'm preaching to the church today. I'm preaching to the blood washed and the redeemed. I'm not preaching to the alcoholic out there or someone just, now you can apply these principles in warfare to every category, but I'm preaching to the church. Anxious people. Anxiety usually manifests in fearful or worried thoughts. You're a worry wart. Well, I'm coming up with some good ones today. A close cousin to negative thinking is fearful thinking. You may be able to quote the verse, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And you'll shout when you quote it, but then you'll leave and you'll worry about what's going to happen tomorrow and next week and your children and your husband and everything else. You say, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. But you sit and you can't even go to sleep at nighttime. Let me tell you something. That's septic thinking, and it's causing your life to be poisoned. Listen, fear and faith cannot dwell together. One of them's got to go. Either you're going to be afraid and you're going to fret and have anxious thoughts, or you are going to cast out those things and believe God, speak the words of life. And some of you today, you just need to talk back to the devil and tell the devil to get out of your car, your house, your thinking. Stop thinking so negative about everything and everybody. A close cousin to negative thinking is fearful thinking. You may be able to quote those verses, but you must implement it. Like a lot of people, you might be consumed with economic fears. What's going to happen to the 401k? What's going to happen? I mean to tell you, this thing is getting out of hand. The gas is going up. I've had people say, well, if the gas goes up, I hope we can still come to church. Why, you can still come to church. I guarantee you. You can spend that money on what you want to spend it on. It doesn't matter if it goes to $10 a gallon. Everybody in here can get to church. If you can't, we'll give you a loan. Amen. But I'm telling you today, it doesn't matter all these things. My Bible said, David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. I don't have to be anxious over what's happening in the economy today, because my God is sufficient. He's called Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. That means no matter what I go through, I'm going to be taken care of, and you're going to be taken care of. If he can bring some meat to the prophet whenever there's a famine in the land, don't you know he can take care of you? My God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider. When you're a tither, he rebukes the devourer, Malachi says. When you're a tither, when you give 10th of your income, listen, that's a covenant with God. He rebukes the devourer. It was David Wilkerson that said, if you want to make it during the coming economic collapse and depression, give to the poor now. Give to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ now, and you preserve your future. Listen, I'm not preaching a slot machine gospel, but I can tell you this. God is a keeper of his word. God knows his people. He knows what we're doing. We can't allow economic fears. We cannot even allow these relational fears to get a hold of us. Well, what if my children get run over by a car? Well, keep them out the street. I'm I'm afraid my kids are going to get hooked on drugs. Well, it's your job to know where your kids are. It's your job to protect them, to put them, put things in place, and you do everything you can do. You raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and then you give it to God. There's got to be some faith here that's in operation. I'm not saying that you just need to let them do whatever you want to do, but I can tell you this, God said that he would keep them. I'm not saying that they'd be saved, but I am saying this, that the word of God never returns void. He'll constantly be dealing with them. Goodness and mercy would follow your children all the days of their life. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you, you don't have to fear any longer. You say, well, I'm afraid that I'm going to die of cancer like daddy died. There are people that, because cancer is in their family, anxious thoughts constantly rolling through their mind. I'm going to move quickly. Got a lot more to preach here. Don't worry about it. Brother Taylor used to say it like this. He said, son, heaven ain't a bad place. I say, Brother Taylor, well, your blood pressure's going up. We'll pray for you. If it don't work, we'll call the ambulance. He said, don't you dare call the ambulance, boy. He said, if I die, heaven ain't a bad place. He said, it's just a shortcut to glory, son. Come on, church. I'm telling you, we're in this life just for a little while. Why do we need to fret and worry? Jesus said, don't even worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient today are the troubles thereof. I'm going to trust God today. We must make up our mind today. Listen, don't worry about tomorrow and borrow the troubles. You need to deal with today. You need to love your children today. You need to seek the Lord today. Don't worry about those things or you're going to be poisoned. Septic thoughts of anxiety will poison you. We worry. We fret. We're anxious. You say, maybe I'll never get married. Maybe God meant for me to be single for the rest of my life. Hey, that's a true anxious thought that people go through. It's something that the enemy wants you to worry about. Don't worry about those things. God loves you so much. God's got a plan for your life. If that's you watching by Facebook or maybe someone in this house today, just trust the Lord. Don't ever get ahead of God. Don't be worrying about the future. God, he can bring that person along and you'll know when they come who it is. Amen. Number three, discontentment. We're consumed with envious thoughts. When we're discontent, we're not pleased with where we're at. Although most people alive today are blessed more than any in the history of the world, we're discontent. I seen a picture and it showed a little baby with an Apple iPad and the baby had its mouth on the corner of the iPad, and then it showed another picture of a child in a third world country eating grain out of a bowl. Poverty. We have everything. Well, my kids don't have what they have. And listen, church, I'm going to tell you something. We have more than any in the history of the planet. And America is the most blessed country in the world. We didn't have to be born here. If you wasn't born here, you didn't have to show up here. It was the mercy of Almighty God. Listen, Brother Clendenin said, I get sick and tired of people complaining about food, what they're going to eat. He said, listen, I've looked into the eyes of too many hungry children to complain. What am I going to eat? I've never complained. I just like all kinds of food, praise the Lord. But I can't stand a complaining individual. We're blessed, church. Number four, can someone come to the piano? Criticism. Criticism is something that can cause you to go septic. Perhaps without even knowing it, you are consumed with criticizing anything that crosses your path. I mean, critical over everybody. It's hard for you to see something positive in a certain type of person. Maybe it's a family member. We got the holidays moving real close. We just came out of Thanksgiving, so it's fresh on your mind, and we're going into Christmas, so I'm preaching to you. Your aunt, your uncle, your mother and father-in-law, your daughter or son-in-law, a family member, a friend. It's just constant criticism. Maybe someone in the church. You're always looking with a critical eye. And all you can see is the wrong in them. You need victory because you're being poisoned. You're going to end up going septic. Your negative thoughts, your criticism is not hurting everybody else. Well, yes, in a way it does, because no one lives or dies to himself. Whenever you're constantly spewing out negative things, it does hurt. But let's just say you keep it to yourself. Let's just say you meditate and you're thinking critical thoughts constantly. It's going to cause you to go septic. It's poisonous. You say, well, I can't stand how this one leads the singing. I'd rather hear this one. Or I don't like this usher because whenever he gets in front of me, he shakes the bag a little bit. They don't do that here. But there's a whole lot of things that we could find to be critical over. We say it's too hot or it's too cold or it's too loud or it's not loud enough. I like them to play the drums a little bit quieter. I wish that he'd speed up a little bit and be a little louder. I'm telling you, there are things, we're just that way. We're human and we encounter things and we all think differently and we have a critical spirit. I believe the Lord, I'm not fully delivered out over a critical spirit, but I've gotten a victory over about 90% of it. I used to look at people and they weren't just like I was. I'm thinking, man, if they didn't believe just like me, they must not be right. I hear people getting on Facebook. Y'all don't mind if I share a few personal experiences with you, do you? They say, now listen, if you don't want to go to Starbucks, praise the Lord. You don't want to go to Starbucks. Oh, they're wicked. They support the homosexual lifestyle. Yes, they do. But don't get on Facebook and be talking about Starbucks when you go to Walmart, who does the same thing. Target and everywhere else. Amazon, do you order anything off of Amazon? Well, you in trouble now because you're a hypocrite. Listen, if you don't want to support it, that's okay. And you say, well, they're more wicked than the other ones. I understand that, and you don't have to support them. But be careful, because we end up criticizing everything and everybody. Well, they don't look like us. They don't dress like us. They don't do exactly like we do. They don't have a tongue long enough either to wash every car in this parking lot, because they ain't gossiped about everybody in the house. But they may have a good spirit, but they don't look like us. I'm going to tell you that critical spirit, we got to get the victory over that critical spirit. If it's in the Word of God, let's adhere to it. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I didn't say half-heartedly. No, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I fear the Lord. I want to be careful about criticizing and being critical and always looking for the wrong in somebody. The Holy Ghost has helped me. I got a problem trying to find the right in people. I'm always looking for the positive. I don't always do it. I didn't say I got total victory. But he looked at me and he saw somebody that was not even worth saving. But he saved me. Can we stand? Septic thinking. I preached all that, identifying it, but I didn't even tell you how to overcome it. I'm going to do it. I want to say this to you. If somebody will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. If somebody will call you up and say, hey, are they really spending all that money in Central America? I don't agree with that. I guarantee you they'll go to the phone and call somebody else to talk about you. If they talk about your brother on the other side of the church, your sister, I promise you they'll talk about you. I have been in the midst of people throughout my life that were in the presence of people and they were bad-mouthing other people and I felt real uncomfortable. I've been even known to join in my life, not recently, but in my life. They'd be talking bad about somebody to that person would leave the room and they'd start talking bad about that person, just left the room to everybody else in the house. If somebody will gossip to you, they'll gossip about you. I want us to pause for a moment, think about your thoughts. Be brutally honest, do you battle with negative thoughts about yourself, other people, or life in general? Are you a victim? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. They treat me wrong. You're being poisoned. Are you often consumed with fearful, worrisome thoughts, putting your faith in bad things happening rather than good? You're being poisoned by your own thinking. Do you find yourself discontented, always wishing life were different or better? Are you occasionally or often critical, finding something wrong with a lot of people, places, or things? You could be going septic. If you answered yes to one or more of these previous questions, your life is being infected by toxic thoughts. Because Solomon says, by inspiration of God, for whatever a man think on in his heart, so is he. That's what you are. That's what God says. Now that we've identified, I want to say this. It's very quick, very simple. In order to get the victory, to overcome, it's a very simple principle. He says, cast down the imagination, every thought. You got to understand what things are causing your problem. We identified them. There's a lot of more things that you can identify in your thinking that can be toxic. You got to, here it is right here. This is the divine revelation. It works. You cast that imagination down. But I can't, Brother Matt. Yes, you can. God would have never told us to do it if he didn't give us the power to do it. You cast down that imagination. Here it is right here. Watch this. I cast it down, and then I look in a different direction, and I begin to think on something else. The most powerful form of spiritual warfare for the child of God in every category of your life, here it is, exchanging one thought for another. You cast down that imagination. Now, if you leave your mind blank, the enemy's going to come back again and again and again and again and again. You're going to be worried your children are going to die. They don't like me. This person, you're going to feel like you've been abused by God because of where you are in life. You're going to think your husband's going to leave you, your wife's going to leave you, they're going to die, you're going to die. It's toxic thoughts. It's not of God. You got to cast that imagination down. Don't leave your mind blank because it'll constantly come back to you. Then you exchange one thought for another. As you meditate on God, he will protect your mind. Philippians 4 and 8 says this. First of all, he says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. And then the next verse says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, if it's not true, don't even think about it. Whatsoever things are honest, don't think about it. Well, if it's honest, you can, but if it's not honest, amen. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can fill your mind instantly with thoughts that are good, a good report. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the 10 spies that came back with a negative report? We're all going down. There's giants in the land. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us, then they're going to kidnap our wives and our children. That's what those 10 spies came back and said. And they spread an evil report in the book of Numbers among all the people of Israel. But Caleb and Joshua came back and said, no, we can take the land. Caleb stood up and said, let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overtake them. How could he say that? Because he wasn't looking through the eye of the flesh. He was looking through the power of God. And that's what we must do. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the spies with negativity? Are you going to allow those septic thoughts to poison you? Or are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Are we going to harness our mind like that old stubborn mule and you pull it to the right? Now listen to me. If you continue to babysit this, and this becomes a pet to you, these negative thoughts that's causing you to go septic in your life, there's nothing I can do for you or anybody else. God, even, he's going to give you a free choice to make that decision. You got to make your mind think in a certain way. I refuse to poison myself. Pessimism, anxiety, discontentment, criticism. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." I know that some of you are struggling. You're saved. You're living for Jesus. You're on your way to heaven. But you're slowly getting poisoned. And it could cause you to turn aside from God. Some of you may be in a more extreme place where you've already turned aside. Your mind's just completely away. You no longer believe God, trust God. You're just filled with criticism, anxiety, fearful thoughts, discontentment. We need the victory today. And whenever we get the victory, I'm going to tell you something. Life, I'm going to tell you, I praise the Lord. I go through struggles just like anyone else, but I have learned the secret. I've learned the secret. Do I always implement it? No. Sometimes I have to go back, stop, and go, okay, now, hold up. You're worrying. You're stressing. That's not of God. And then I stop and I harness that old mind and I begin to think the thoughts of God. And I can feel the life of God coming inside of me. I feel the joy of the Lord. I wake up in the morning time and something bad's going on. I immediately try to find the best in it. God's given me a grace to try to find the best in every situation because I have been in too many dire, straight situations where it did not look good. I got through it, and God used that bad situation for something so beautiful. God's in control of your life if you allow Him to be. You don't have to be spiritually septic today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I preach what you give me to preach. Lord, I know there's so many different categories we could have preached on today, but pessimism, anxiety, discontentment, criticism, are areas that many of the people of God struggle with. God, we want victory. We want deliverance. We want our minds to be pure and sanctified. We want to have faith to believe God for the supernatural. I'm asking you today at this old-fashioned altar that you'll help somebody get help. And Lord, to learn the spiritual principle of exchanging one thought for another. Before it all come down, I want to ask you if there's anyone in this house, if there's one soul, you're away from God. Jesus loves you today and He wants to save you. Jesus loves you. You may be a backslider. You've once known the ways of God and you've rebelled away from God. I mean, you've rebelled against God and you've moved away from God. Jesus wants to save you. The prodigal son or daughter is welcome to come home today. You may have never known the ways of God. He loves you and wants to transform your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anyone in this house that you're away from God, you want to be saved, I want you to slip that hand up. God sees this hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else in this house? I'm going to pray with this young lady. But I'm going to ask you to come down, everyone in this house that can, physically that can, to come and find a place to kneel and pray at this altar. God's going to help us. But you've got to implement the trading one thought for another. You've got to cast down those thoughts. Cast them down. They're tormenting you. They're causing you to become so anxious and so worried and so fearful.
You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they won't last always. Remember there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. If your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say,